If you have a Bible, John chapter 18, John chapter 18. We could let all the children go. They could eat all the strawberry shortcake. I wonder if they'd save any for us. John chapter 18. This is a story about Jesus being before Pilate. And we won't read the complete story. It's probably one that's very familiar. But we'll begin reading in verse 33 of chapter 18. John chapter 18, verse 33. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall and called Jesus unto him and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? I think we've got a ringing in this, do we? Is there any way we can, is that better? That better? 84 years ago, our forefathers, okay, it's good. Let's start over. Let's go to verse 33. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? Jesus answered him, saying, sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it of thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou the king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born. And for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? Boy, that's a good question. And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find no fault at all. But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one of the at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. He died in place of the sinner. And it's ever been so of that. Amen. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for your word today. I pray, God, that we would know the truth that sets us free. I pray that you'd bless every mind and heart here today. And may we all have good ground to receive your word. Bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know if you remember some of these old TV shows like To Tell the Truth. And the whole idea of that was to trick somebody, or truth or consequences, you know. Remember all the soap operas? Some of you probably don't remember. Remember the one As the Stomach Turns? That was a real favorite one. But all of these things, you know, and you go back and you see how gullible sometimes people are, how they could believe a lie. If you find what is true, something that is true, then you find the truth in that. And that's what we're going to see today. What is truth? That was a great question. And there's a great answer to that in the Word of God. It's good to know the truth. You know, you go to the used car lot and he says, a little old lady from Pasadena drove this. Well, if you ever heard that song, anyway, never mind, we'll just go on. It is amazing how close somebody can get to the truth and then not know it, not receive it. Here's Pilate and here's Christ. And all that he had to do with Christ, and his wife even warned him, but his own conscience was speaking unto him. But Pilate's problem was he asked the crowd, What then shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? He asked them what he should do rather than just asking God. And anyway, we'll see that truth played out over and over in the message today. There was a high priest by the name of Caiaphas, John chapter 11 and verse 50. Nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people and that the whole nation perish not. That's what he said. He had no idea what he was saying. He was saying, if Jesus dies, then we will be okay with Rome being in power. But it goes a lot deeper than that. Jesus died for all men. Amen? He died for one died that all might be saved. The Jews were meticulous about their preparation for the Passover. That's started in Exodus chapter 12. And a lot of this that we're going to look at today is people did not know. Caiaphas did not know that Jesus was the Christ. And there's a lot of people that don't know that. They don't understand the truth of that. 1 Corinthians 5, 7, even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. So they're getting ready for the Passover, and here's the Passover lamb in the flesh. Amen? But they just did not know that. It says in 1 Corinthians 2, 8, had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Had they known it. It's so important to know the truth, especially spiritual truth. Matthew chapter 27, verse 42, the crowd around Jesus when he was being crucified said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him come down from the cross and we will believe in him. And Jesus responded to that in Luke chapter 23 and verse 34. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They know not what they do. There are people that are so opposed to church or religion or the Christ. It's because they don't know. They don't understand who he is. There he was, the fulfillment of all the prophecies. There he was, right there. There he was, hanging on a cross. All of the truth, just righteousness and truth is met together, the Bible says in the Psalms. There's a story in John chapter 4 about the woman at the well, and Jesus was talking to her, and he said, if thou knewest who it is that said to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee a drink of living water. If thou knewest. People just don't know. So we come back to this idea. What is truth? You've probably been saved for a number of years. Maybe not. Maybe you're here and you don't know the Lord as your Savior. But if you've been saved for a number of years, you've tried and proved the Bible, the truth that is in the Bible. What we have learned about Christ, what we have learned about our future, what we have learned about the great sacrifice made for us, that gives us peace. It gives us comfort. It gives us hope for the future. It's all because we understand the truth. Amen? Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. So that's what we're doing here. We're singing holy, holy, holy. We're singing these songs and we're praising God and we're fellowshipping. We're opening our Bibles. Why? Because we believe it's the truth. And, you know, here you have a preacher and he's told to preach the word and the I word is truth. So I'm supposed to preach the truth. And you're supposed to go home and say, boy, I wonder if that's really the truth. You look at the verses that I use. You listen to the sermon. Amen? And you prove that whether it is true or not. The revelation of all the types in the Bible. You have, I mentioned Exodus chapter 12. It was the lamb that was slain, and the blood of the lamb was put on the top of the door and the two side posts. That's a picture of the cross. That is a type. And so Jesus was the Lamb of God whose blood was shed from the foundation of the world. And when I see the blood, it's in that chapter, I will pass over you. That's the Passover. Jesus was the Passover, the Bible tells us. You have in Numbers chapter 21, the nation, they're murmuring against Moses. You've never murmured against anybody, have you? Probably not, but you've probably heard somebody or read about it somewhere. But they were murmuring against Moses. They were murmuring against God. And God sent fiery serpents to bite them. And these serpents were poisonous, and many people were dying. And Moses is praying, even though they murmured against him, he's praying, God, what do we do? And God said, make a brazen serpent, put it on a pole and lift it up and tell the people to look at that brazen serpent and they will live. Brass in the Bible, you know this, is speaking of judgment. The serpent speaks of the devil. And up on that pole, that was sin being judged. And that's what it's a picture of. And so whoever looked at that serpent on the pole, the poison had no power over them. The bite of the serpent had no power and they were able to live. John chapter 4 or John chapter 3. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so there's the type and it's fulfilled. And you could go on and on and on because those truths are found in the Bible. All we need to do is come to Christ. Amen? And he saves us from our sins. 1 Corinthians 15:3. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. You have Isaiah 53, and it tells all about that. John chapter 14, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Boy, we live in a strange age, don't we? You know, the more you talk about it, as it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be also in the coming of the Son of Man. And it's like the world's going crazy, and it's overnight. It's just going so fast. And if you would watch the news today or tomorrow, it's going to be worse than it was yesterday. It's just going, and the world is, hey, this is great, all this stuff that's going, well, not everybody in the world, amen? But we certainly are grieved by that. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 4:4, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and they shall be turned unto fables. This is the problem today. People have all of these stories, and they're not biblical. They're fables. A fable is a false story. It's a fiction. It's a science fiction sometimes, but it's a story that is not biblically founded. Oh, it makes sense to somebody reading it, or they're intrigued by it. You ever go through a line at the grocery store? Remember all those magazines? B-52 bomber found on the moon, you know? Boy, I got to read about that one, you know, and somebody gets in and reads about it. Don't waste your money unless you're going to use it as a sermon illustration, right? But they turn away their ears from the truth. Titus 1:14, same principle. Not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Isaiah 59:14, and judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Equity is justice. And you can't be just and judge rightly without the truth. You have to have the truth. Amos chapter 8 and verse 11. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord. And he goes on and says that I will send a famine in the land, not of bread, but of hearing the word of the Lord. That's the famine. And, you know, they have ears, but they say, tickle our ears, that we might hear something pleasant. And they don't listen to the truth. So I'm told to preach the word, and so that's what I'm going to do. That's my introduction. That's my first introduction. I have five of them, and then a short message. Amen? Rough crowd today. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. This is so close. This is the word of God. Amen? It's alive. The words that I speak unto you, they are life. They're life-giving. Amen? And here it is. We all have one. Or if you don't bring one, there's some in the back. You pick one up and you open it and you read it. You read it at home. Amen? We memorize it. This is life right here. So close. So close. Gideon's put Bibles in hotel rooms. And every once in a while, somebody would get saved because of that. But think of all the people that just, oh, here's a Bible, and they don't have time to read it. It's a great, great book. Preach the word. John 16:13, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you into all truth. Number of verses. Proverbs 22:21, that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee. In John chapter 8 and verse 44, Jesus is talking about the devil, and he says he's a liar. He was a liar from the beginning, and he abode not in the truth. And if you follow what the devil teaches, you cannot follow what God teaches. Amen? It's impossible for God to lie. The Bible tells us that. But the devil was a liar from the beginning. So we understand that. We know that. So we're going to listen to what God says. Amen? Because it's the truth. And we have it in the Bible. Yeah, but I read this and I read that. Throw it away if it doesn't correspond with the Bible, because that's where the truth is. If you have God's word, you have the truth. Amen? About anything. In John chapter 8, verse 32, it says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The Apostle Paul was very religious. and his pedigree is recorded in one of his epistles. The thief on the cross was not very religious. He was very sinful. And yet both of them found the truth. So the Bible tells us in Romans 10:12, there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. There's no difference between Paul and the thief on the cross. Everybody has to come to God the same way, and that's through Jesus Christ. We recognize we're sinners. He died for our sin, all of the types we just spoke of, and we trust him as Savior, and we're saved. Well, I don't really feel saved today. You can't go by your feelings. Well, my neighbor believes it this way. You go back to the Word of God, amen? I believe the assurance of your salvation is very important. I believe when you trust what Jesus has done for you, it gives you a peace. You're not afraid of the next life, amen? You're looking forward to it. Romans 10:12, no difference. 2 Timothy 3:15, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Here's a child. Here's a man in his prime. This is the Apostle Paul. And here's a man minutes from death, the thief on the cross. They all found the truth. And they found that truth in the Word of God. So it doesn't matter age, background, none of that matters. As long as you find the truth and you come to know the Lord. Do you remember when you got saved? You remember the day? You remember how that took place? And the Bible says that there is a time, there is a day of salvation where you realize you were a sinner and you realize Jesus is the Savior. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So you called upon him. I've given my testimony before. I was home on a Saturday all by myself in my living room, and we had a purple velour couch. We were classy, man. Purple velour. I won't tell you what year that was. But anyway, I knelt down at that couch and I accepted Christ as my Savior. I trusted my eternal soul, my eternity, to Jesus Christ that day. If you did that, why can't we trust him for tomorrow? Amen? If we've trusted him, and see, you go back to the Scriptures and you find out the truth about tomorrow. You find out the truth about yourself. How to get help. What time I'm afraid, I will trust in him. Another verse says, I will trust and not be afraid. And all the things that are going on in the world, you know, they're in the Bible. All that's in the Bible. You say, no, yeah, no, yeah. We could do that a few more times. Amen. But it's all in the Bible. And you say, well, I'm so worried. There's no need to be worried. Amen. It may not be comfortable. It may be dark. There's all kinds of problems that come up in this life, but we have the promise of God to help us. Ephesians 4:15. Speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So we mature. You have 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2:2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. You have in those three verses the truth, the knowledge, and the word. And all three of those verses have to do with maturity. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Grow up is maturity. Grow in is the grace and knowledge. Grow thereby is desiring and drinking the word. That's a good outline. There's the story of Gabby Williams. I don't know if you ever read this, but she was 9 years old. I think she passed away at 9 years old. And every 4 years, she only matured 1 year. So the article talked about her and how that she had this condition and she could not grow old. She grew old, but she never matured. Her body stayed the same. There was another one by the name of Brooke Greenberg. She died at the age of 20, having never developed beyond the physical size of an infant or the mental capacity of a 2-year-old. And it is called Syndrome X, where it's very rare, but where these little babies, they just never mature. Isn't that sad? That's not how God meant it to be, amen? The body and mind were meant to develop. and to live life and to interact with other people and to know God. That's true in the spiritual realm too. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, okay, and grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, amen. And so we do that, we grow, and that's natural. I want to take you to, let's go to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. And you follow along as I read. The parable of the seed and the sower is found three times in the Bible. Why did God do that? There are sometimes little bits of extra information that one writer gives over the other writer. But I think God gave it to us because he wants us to know this parable. This is so powerful. I want to be fruitful in my life. Amen? I want to mature and I want to grow so I can honor my God, so that I can have peace in my heart, so that I can help other people to get saved or to know God, or in times of trouble. Amen? That's what our life is about. But let's look at Matthew chapter 13. We won't read all of the example of the parable. We'll just read the interpretation of it. Verse 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. He did not know it, and so the devil comes and takes it away. Verse 20. But he that receives seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet he hath not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation, persecution ariseth, because of the word, by and by he is offended. There's four different types of ground. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word, and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some hundredfold, some 60, some 30. Amen? So we got all that imprinted in our mind. But we missed a lot of it, didn't we? Sometimes you're reading along or you're listening and you miss it. So let's go to Mark. Mark chapter 4. This is the parable of the seed and sower. Look with me, Mark chapter 4. And let's begin reading here in verse 14. The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and having fruit for and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. And the last one, let's go to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 8. What you're finding in this is the word is given out, and there's four different kinds of ground. The hearts are stony, it's by the wayside, it's this, it's that. And on the good ground, when the word falls on good ground, something happens. It's miraculous. Who could believe what happens when you put a seed where there's good ground and you give it some rain, amen? What happens? A beanstalk grows, and then Jack comes along and he climbs a bean. No, that's not what happens. That's some kind of story, children's story. The word of God takes effect. If the Bible falls on good ground, it works. Amen? No, I got to make it happen. No, you don't. If your heart is right and you receive the word of God with faith and love and thank God you hear it. Amen? Boy, God showed me something in church. Boy, in my devotions last week, it was amazing. I was so hungry, and God gave me some food for my soul. Amen? That's how it works. Look at Luke chapter 8. You say, you already read enough of that. Well, we're going to read just a little bit more. Where am I at? Verse 11. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. I may not be doing a real good job of sowing the seed, but it's still out there. Amen? And some falls this way and some falls that way. And why would you ever preach to somebody that doesn't want you to preach to them? Well, that's what God did. He just cast it out. Amen? But because there's always somebody that wants to hear it. And it says, those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil, taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, in the time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with the cares and riches of, and pleasures of this life, and bring forth no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Wow. You receive the seed, you bring forth fruit. That's God's plan. That's what he does. We want to mature. We want to bring forth fruit in our life, come to fruition. Psalm 1:3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper for the Lord. Amen? That's what works. There's a verse in Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 3, where God says, break up your fallow ground, the ground that's not been plowed, the ground that's kind of hard. Break up your fallow ground, because it's time to seek the Lord. And the verse goes on and says, and sow not among thorns. This is the kind of ground where you want to plant something. Sow not among thorns. You go back to Genesis. The thorns were a curse on the earth. It's not good ground for growing something. And what are those thorns? The deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things, the cares of this life. They choke the word that it might become unfruitful. So that's not where we want to plant. Amen? We want to come to church with good hearts, honest hearts. God, give me something today. And God will. And God promises to do that. Luke chapter 13, verse 9. There's a story there about a man. I would take the time to read it, but I'm going a little bit over here. But there was a man, and he had a fig tree, and it was there 3 years, and he came looking for fruit on that fig tree. Now, that makes sense. If you bought an apple orchard and it didn't produce any apples, I think you'd think, why did I buy the apple orchard, right? I remember as kids, we had a prune tree, plum tree, whatever, and we had peach trees, and you just go out to the peach tree and pluck one off that looked pretty good. Man, that's good eating. Amen? And you had those trees, and those trees were planted so that there would be fruit. If you went out 3 years and you never got any fruit, you would be disappointed. Well, this is a picture of God coming looking for fruit. And he comes after 3 years and he says, that's it. Let's just cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? It's not fulfilling its purpose. And somebody said, Lord, let's give it another year. I'm going to dig about it and dung it. I'm going to fertilize it. I'm going to break up the fallow ground. The rain will be able to get in there. And let's give it one more year to bear fruit. And he said, okay. But if it doesn't bear fruit after the fourth year, cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? He's speaking to that nation. But isn't that powerful? This is God saying that. We are supposed to bring forth fruit. And that honors the Lord when we do that. John 12:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. And here's the point of the message. It's not easy to grow. You think, well, all I got to do is I'll just go into church and I'll just be so happy all the time. happy all the time, you know, and I'll just, you know, my troubles aren't anything. Yes, they are. They're dark times, hard times. Yet, speaking of Christ, yet learned he obedience through the things which he suffered. He learned through the things which he suffered. There's so many verses that talk about this, the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. How do you get to praising God from going through the fire? God does something. Except a corn of wheat die, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. The trial produces something. In the book of James, tribulation worketh patience. Amen? Say, I'm impatient. Pray. God will give you a tribulation. He'll give you a trial because it helps us to be patient. Yet learned he obedience. A just man falleth seven times, but riseth up again. You ever learn anything in the trial? You ever get cold or indifferent? And you say, man, I don't want to live like this anymore. You know, they left their first love. Get back. Get back to that. I've lost the axe head. Where did you lose it? Amen? And sometimes, you know, Deuteronomy chapter 8, sometimes you'll go through a real trial just so God can show you your heart and show you what you really want in life. That's how we mature. That's how we grow. If our children never have any difficulty and we take all the difficulty away from them and just live in a glass house, you know, and everything's so just perfect, that's not life. Life is a trial. In this world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. And so we learn how to get through those problems. I remember as a young preacher, and I'm still a young preacher. Amen? I'll be 24. Well, I was 24 a long time ago. But I remember in the early days, man, I'd have a problem in church or this or that. And I thought, what in the world am I going to do? And so I'd call one of the older pastors, you know, and I'd say, this is my circumstance. Have you ever seen anything like that? He said, oh, yeah. This real matter, just nonchalant, you know, matter of fact. Yeah, I've seen that. I said, well, what did you do? And he would help me through that. And he said, Paul, you're going to see a lot of things like that. And that's just the way it is. It's a tough world. Amen? It is. There's trials. There's tribulations. And that helps us to grow. God does that with us. And so it drives us. It draws us back to the Word of God. God, what do I do? How do I handle this? And you grow in your faith and in knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 10 and 11. It's speaking about a father chastening his son. For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he, God, for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them who are exercised thereby. Father's Day is coming up. My father deserted our family when I was 8 years old. So not a lot of happy memories there. A little bit later in my life, my mom married my stepfather. Very mean. I don't want to go into all of that. So it's not a real happy day in that respect, but I am a father, amen, and I have a heavenly father. But I have gone through some things where those that were chastening me or telling me how to live or punishing me or whatever, however you describe it, had no care for me. It was for their pleasure. And, you know, you be quiet because that's going to look bad on me if you're not quiet. And a lot of parents raise children like that. Not a lot, some. I should just say some. But God chastens us. See, we think chastening, boy, that's the worst thing in the world. No, isn't it good when you're going? It's like the guy that had the bumper sticker. He's going to California. And he's got a bumper sticker made for the back of his car, and he on it says, if I'm not going to California, stop me so I can turn around and go in the right way. Amen? Wouldn't that be a blessing? Here's somebody turned around because the bridge was out and another car is going the same direction, and you turn to your wife and you laugh and say, boy, he's in trouble. No, you try and stop him. Amen? Why do we chase in our children? Why are you guys chasing your, don't answer that. But Jeff, why are you chasing your children? I'm not talking about severe, I'm just correction, right? Why would we correct them? Why do we do that? Because we love them. And so when you're chasing, that's a good sign that you're a child of God. If you can do everything wrong and there's no chastening, I would sincerely look at whether I ever knew God. I was born again, and the context proves that. Psalm 25, verse 5. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. God wants the best for us. He wants the best for all of us, everyone here. So what is truth? What is truth? Thy word is truth. How do we get it? Well, we read it, right? And we're right. Our heart is right, so the Spirit guides us into all truth, because we're not grieving the Spirit or quenching the Spirit. We're open to the Spirit. We're following. We're worshiping. And God teaches us. And he allows us to bring forth fruit. I'll close with this. There's two types of fruit. The fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. That's for us. Amen. And that's a good testimony. And the other type of fruit is winning somebody to Christ. That's fruit. And how do we do that? We learn the word. We follow the Savior into that path. And God gives a lot of souls. We're going to have this funeral on Saturday. A lot of people got saved because a man and his wife gave themselves to the Lord. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be a preacher. You just have to be right with the Lord. Amen. Amen. What is truth? I hope you know the answer to that now. Amen. Let's bow our heads, please. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for the truth. And I pray, God, that we would so desire it. We would so want the truth, to walk in the truth. Help us, Lord. Bless every person here today, children, adults. We all need your help. And we ask for your blessing now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's